miss any of the show? You can get Sheeman and Shepherd all the time with Sheeman and Shepherd On Demand. Available on 99.3ESPN.com and iTunes. This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
I guess we are the talking heads. Sheeman and Shepherd on Southwest Florida Sports Leader, 99.3 ESPN. Thanks for being with us here on a Monday. 2 hours down, two to go on Southwest Florida Sports Leader, 99.3 ESPN. We've got some Monday Night Football tonight, New Orleans and Carolina. And we all picked New Orleans there, and we all took different paths to 3-3 records in our pigskin picks, so we're all going to go 4-3 or 3-4. Bottom line is nobody gains any ground on me, so that's good. I want to congratulate Mark in Fort Myers. He was the winner of our City of Palms Classic tickets. Coming up this hour, more prizes. We've got the WWE event coming up at Hertz Arena in January. We'll have tickets for that as well. Phone number is 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Start off the show really having like to kind of redirect ourselves into this. Dolphin beside themselves, but not really. Kind of the Dolphins yesterday, and I had people tweeting me,
yeah,
asking how Chris was doing, because we know that Chris would have been beside himself. He was basking in the glory of the miracle in Miami against the Patriots. All they had to do was roll in with the momentum into Minnesota, a team that had been struggling to find itself, a team that fired its offensive coordinator. It's indoors. The weather's not a factor. Just go there and get a win, and you are sitting pretty for the playoffs, and that is exactly the type of game that the Dolphins lose year in and year out. Boom.
And what happens? They go in, and the first 3 minutes and 20 seconds of the game, six plays, 76 yards, Cook and company, touchdown. It was like it was a sieve out there on defense for Miami. Unprepared, not knowing. Regardless of all that, they're down 21-0 at the end of the first quarter. They come back to get the pick six from Fitzpatrick. They come back and score again. It's 21-10 at the half. It looks okay. All right? You're thinking, okay, this could have been a hell of a lot worse. They score again in the third quarter. They cut the lead to 21-17. And you know what they did after that? It's not even bad or pathetic. It was basically negative yardage. Here are the final six drives by the Miami Dolphins after the touchdown cut it to 21-17. Started at the Minnesota 25. At the Minnesota 25. 3 minutes and 41 seconds, 5 plays, 4 yards, punt. Started at the Miami 25, minute and 6 seconds, 3 plays, negative 3 yards, punt. Start on their own 31, 143, 3 plays, negative 10 yards, punt. Start on their own 25. 1 minute and 3 seconds. 3 plays. Negative 9 yards. Punt. Start on their own 25 again. 1:56 goes off the clock. 4 plays. Negative 9 yards. Turnover on downs. And the last series was 8 plays. Woo-hoo. In garbage time. And yeah. 22 yards. Turnover on downs.
There are two things at play here. Number one, the lack of creativity on offense. That's number one. But I'm more concerned about the defense, because you, me, Chris, and anybody who follows football knew that the Vikings made a change at offensive coordinator because they were next to last in running the ball, and Coach Zimmer wants them to run the ball. Guess what we thought they were going to try and do with Dalvin Cook against the Miami Dolphins? They're going to try and run the ball. So put 8 in the box and let it ride. Let Kirk Cousins beat you through the air.
They finally started to put – they brought down McDonald, and they had an 8-man front in the second quarter.
They did, and that's what turned it around.
Go look at the rushing stats for the Vikings in the second quarter. They were – I'm off the top of my head, but they didn't
– No, here's what they
did. It was 2 yards and stuffed. I mean, that was the run game in the second quarter.
Here's what they did. Here's the drive to the second quarter for the Vikings. 5 minutes and 1 second, 10 plays, 33 yards. The pick six happened. Second time they get the ball back with 7:44 to go in the first half. They're on their own 25, a minute and 27 seconds, 3 plays, 5 yards, punt. And then they get the ball in their own 25 with 14 seconds to go. That's the half. Kneel down. That, I mean, you can't – it doesn't get much better than that. Then Miami comes out and scores in Miami comes out and scores, cuts it to 21-17, and then they lay an absolute gigantic egg. after that.
So they're 7-7, and it feels like their world is just about over. The Eagles are 7-7, and it feels different. Colin in the Cape wants to talk about the Eagles. We're open for anything. Eagles, Dolphins, Patriots, we'll get to you. 239-337-ESPN. Colin in the Cape, you're on with Sheeman and Shepherd. Go ahead.
Hey, Colin.
Hey, guys, how's it going? So how about Nick Foley and Dynamite, huh? Came through in the clutch and played a pretty good game against a good team. What do you think?
I thought it was pretty impressive. And we talked about, I think we called on Friday, right? And I said, you know, well, their record is when they run the ball. Now, they run the ball 25 times or more. Their record, I think they went to 5-0 or 6-0. And now they're
6-0, yep.
And yeah, between Smallwood, Sproles, and Adam, they did a great job. I think it was a big part of it.
It was an effective offense. It was nice to see Nick Foles step in and play a good game and kind of get some momentum going. I mean, it's interesting to see what could play out if we win out and fall into that wild card spot. If Dallas happens to lose out the last two games and we take an NFC East championship, which would be crazy. But, you know, it's exciting. It's a good way to end off the season on a season that really didn't go as planned and having a really bad Super Bowl slump. But
just get in.
The Eagles play good football and look like, you know, it's a Super Bowl chance.
Yeah, yeah, right, just get in. Get that sixth seed.
They host Houston on Sunday. It should be a hell of a game. I think that's a winnable game for the Eagles.
Yeah, the last two games, and the Texans are playing really good football right now, so that's a good matchup. We got them at home. Mm-hmm. We got momentum. I like our chances. I like our odds, and I think we got that underdog status again. And I think we can use that to our advantage and just see what happens. It's exciting. Go Boats.
Thank you, Colin. Thank you. Appreciate the call. And the Eagles have announced they're not putting Carson Wentz on injured reserve with that back, but they're pretty much all but saying that Nick Foles will start again next weekend. So
that Minnesota-Chicago game to end the season is probably going to decide, like, everything, a bunch of stuff in the NFC.
Well, yeah, because I think that's going to be how Minnesota's going to try and sneak in on that last day, and who are they bump out or who's in.
It could also knock Chicago out of a potential second round, a second seed, third seed. I don't think it'd be any lower than a 3.
Colin was just talking about the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Their final two games, home for the Bucs at the Giants. I kind of feel bad for what's going to happen to the Bucs this weekend.
This weekend?
That's an upset. Dallas Cowboys football team that was playing some really good football.
Yeah. You got to cut.
Watch out.
You got to cut from Dirk Carter. I mean, it feels over in Tampa. It really does. I'm not breaking news here. I mean, I don't know what Jameis's future is. I really don't. I know Dirk's not going to be back. I know the GM's probably not going to be back. Dirk Cutter after their loss against Baltimore yesterday.
Well, he makes you play 11-on-11 football instead of 11-on-10. I mean, the guy, you know, we had him wrapped up a couple other times, and he squirted out of there and was able to extend plays. So, you know, they're on a nice run with him at quarterback, and with that defense, they're going to be a tough team to beat.
Second half last week against New Orleans, combined with the second half this yesterday against the Ravens, they have been outscored 35-3 in the second half the last 2 weeks.
Well, are they getting tired? Emotionally tired?
35-3, they've been outscored in the second half the last 2 weeks. 10-0, 10-3 this week, and 25-0 last week by the Saints.
That's a team that's quit, right? I mean, does it feel like it?
I know it's bad weather in Baltimore. I get it. I know it's cold and all that stuff, but I mean,
it was an 8-point game, right?
I mean, to get outscored 35-3 in the second half of the last two games, that doesn't say a lot about starting quarterback, the offense, and.
Well, out of all the games that took place, I was most surprised. Again, going into the pigskin picks on Friday, I did pick the Colts. I thought that game felt kind of like something would happen, but I had no idea. That was the biggest surprise of the weekend, that the Colts not only beat them, but shut them out. Jamal in Fort Myers, can you explain to me what happened in the Cowboys-Colts game?
If I can explain to you what happened in the Cowboys-Colts game, I wouldn't be on this line right now. But, long-time, lifelong Cowboys fan. Granted, the Cowboys played bad. They missed some opportunities in that game. However, you got to take these two things into consideration. Frank Wright, Colts head coach, was offense coordinator for the Eagles.
Yes.
Last couple of years. Knows the division, knows the Cowboys.
Yeah, that's true.
The defensive coordinator for the Colts was their linebacker coach the last 7 or 8 years in Dallas. So he kind of knows the tendencies of what they want to do, what they like to do. And, again, the Cowboys have to play better. They have to look like a team that's, you know how to close ball games.
Jamal, that's the best explanation I've heard all day. I like it. You should be an analyst, man. That was pretty good.
But if you guys need an intern, I'm your man.
Now, how do you feel about, I mean, now you see Tampa Bay coming into your place this week, and you're thinking, all right, they're done. But in this league, even as bad as Tampa Bay looked yesterday in the second half, I just don't think, look what's happened to Seattle and San Francisco. I don't think you can take anybody for granted. I don't think you can in this league. It's such a crazy league to predict. So, I mean, I expect the Cowboys to take care of business next week in Tampa Bay, but if there's one last gasp of breath, just people playing for jobs, and there's still some talented players on the Tampa Bay team, I hope Dallas isn't looking too far ahead.
And I'm looking at the series that the Cowboys had. Open his drive, 10 plays, 45 yards, blocked mm-hmm. field goal.
Blocked field goal.
Second drive, 15 plays, 70 mm-hmm. yards, fumble.
Yep.
Next drive, 14 plays, 44 yards. Mm-hmm. You take almost 7.5 minutes off the clock. You punt the ball. Okay. Go to the second half. 7 plays, 24 yards. 6 plays, 8 plays, 5 plays, interception. Like, it wasn't 3 and out.
Oh, no.
You throw up 0 right there, but that's a lot of plays and a lot of yardage for a team to not score a point.
That's a bend but don't break, mm-hmm. exactly, by the Colts defense. Is Jason Garrett back on the hot seat now? He was the golden child now for the last 4 weeks.
It depends what happens. If they lose to Tampa Bay, he might be.
Maybe, but not now.
All right, Wig in Fort Myers. Welcome back. How are you?
What's up, Wig?
Hey, what's happening, fellas?
You are, man.
Yep.
Man. I can't even have any humble pie. I'd rather have some tapioca pudding at this point.
Sorry about those Dolphins,
man. As I stated to you guys, look what happened.
Yeah, but it didn't happen the way we thought it would happen, though. I didn't expect them to be down 21-0, nor did I expect them to be down 21-17 and have twice stop Minnesota, get the ball back in the third quarter twice, and then go like for negative 15 yards on 6 plays. That's what I didn't expect.
I don't know what it is. Like I said, these guys come to Miami to vacation and retire. I don't think they come down to compete. I mean, because I knew they was going to do this. I knew this. I mean, every time we have a fighting chance, just like I stated, we will lay the edge. Mm. Yeah. I just don't know what it is. It wasn't. You can blame Tannehill. I mean, but like you said, those last 3 or 4 drives at the end of the game, they sunk the house on us on third down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting there like, why can't we blitz the same way?
But not only that, and I know it's 9 sacks, but Tannehill's got to do it. They're sending the house. You got to understand. That means you got single coverage all over the place or no coverage. Somebody's got to be open. Find it. Get rid of the ball.
Man, I was looking at some of those routes from the overhead view. And I'm saying, why do we have so much of schematic routes that are going so deep?
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have a pitch and catch offense like the Andy Reeves and the RPOs and stuff like that, which that's what the game was predicated on now when you had a weapon.
Yeah, but you got the deep routes, but you never use them.
I don't know. I just can't tell you what it is, but I knew they was going to do what they was going to do. Now watch. We'll probably play like the 1984 Dolphins, probably the last game that looked like world beaters, but
and come a game short. Yeah, you're right. All right, Wig, hang in there, man.
And if I'm sitting there looking at this screen going, they're blitzing. How come Ryan Tannehill not see that? And go look at those sacks. I'll say 4 of them.
Yeah,
it was play action where he just simply doesn't. I don't know if he's not timing out his cadence where he just gets caught in the same cadence because he got a 7-yard running head start mm-hmm. every time he was blitzing, and you could barely run the play action. But when that happened, you got to have the ability to call an audible, call a hot route. I mean, you have to have something out there to combat the blitz.
You would think.
And it's quick passes. Like Pete said, you got one-on-one.
And I'm sure somebody, at least your safety valve guy, you're probably wide open. Somebody's open. If they're sending 8, somebody's open.
Yeah.
You gotta read it. You gotta get rid of the ball. It was under 2.5-3 seconds. That's it.
Brandon in Fort Myers, you're on with Sheeman and Shepard. Go ahead.
Hi, Brandon.
Hey guys, love the show.
Thanks.
I just wanted to reiterate what the caller just said. It's a typical Miami Dolphins. You know, they get you up, and then you know it's just like versus the Vikings. It's horrible. It is just frustrating every year because it's just basically they set you up for disappointment, and it's just angering.
All right, Brandon, let me ask you something. Let me take you. Take me. You watch the game? Did you watch it at home? Did you go out?
No, I watched it at home.
Okay, so it's what's going through your thought? What's going through your mind the first quarter?
Every one of my friends that I have talked to, we knew the Miami Dolphins were going to lay an egg this game.
Okay, but when they came back and scored the next 17, what were you thinking then?
I thought maybe we had a chance.
It hooked you back,
and then you had two drives after that where you stopped Minnesota and couldn't
but
get.
But it's just like it's just frustrating because it's just like the same thing every year. Like all the Miami Dolphins have to look forward to is the draft. And we always mess that up anyway. So it's just
all right, man. Hang in.
Well,
there.
I don't know about that. I mean, we've gotten some nice draft picks over the last few years. I think Fitzpatrick's going to be a good player, especially when you can put him in that hybrid secondary position, which he should play. He's not a number one corner.
Right.
He's not a lockdown, shutdown corner. When Xavien Howard is out and he has to play that position, that weakens what he does. That means you take him off the other guy's number two receiver. You're putting a McTyer. You're putting a Bobby McCain on the number two on the outside. And it's a domino effect where it ruins the secondary everywhere.
239-337-ESPN is the number. Terry in Fort Myers. You're on with Sheeman and Shepard. Go ahead,
Terry.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. Thanks for checking in.
What do you
think? I've been listening to all this Dolphin Homer stuff for about, I don't know, a couple hours now.
Yeah.
And I'm a Viking fan from way back in the 60s, okay?
Yes, sir.
So I've seen all the good and bad years. You guys aren't talking. This little kid there run the 75-yard touchdown back in the third quarter, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He ticked off that defense. After that, they lived in the back there with Tannehill. Once he did that, they were in Tannehill's face the rest of the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Osweiler was standing over. He didn't want no part of it. He didn't want no part of it. They're talking about why is Tannehill still in there. Well, the other boy didn't want to go in.
All right, let me ask you this. Since you're a Vikings fan, talk to me about Kirk Cousins now. I mean, we were ripping him pretty hard last weekend.
Yeah.
You paid $84 million for this.
Oh, yeah. Okay. The guaranteed money is one thing, okay? But they paid the going price for a quarterback, okay? They didn't. They got yesterday what they paid for. Everybody thinks he's Aaron Rodgers. He's not, okay? He's not the GOAT. I hate that term.
Yeah.
But the point is that he's 215, 250 yards, two touchdowns, could have done without the interception. Point is, Dalvin Cook and Latavius Murray are supposed to do what they did, 150 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Zimmer is a defensive coach. This is the game he wants. He wants this in every game.
Yes, he does.
He wants to grind it out. He wants to pound it. Kirk Cousins, just don't screw it up. And he's been doing a lot of that this year.
But I'll tell you what, though, Terry.
They don't ask him to.
But,
you know?
But Terry, when the Dolphins came back and scored 17 and stopped Minnesota twice, I mean, you could hear a pin drop in that place after the.
Yes, you could. It got really quiet. Yes, it did.
And that's where the Dolphins. I thought the Dolphins could have. This is where Tannehill and Cousins. Cousins is going to have to throw the ball down the field at some point in some game to beat somebody. If they're going to be a serious contender here, he's going to have to throw the ball down the field. Yes, they didn't have to. Like,
Minnesota is the worst team in the world for disappointing people.
No.
My goodness. you can bet the beginning of the season, go out to Vegas, and bet that the Vikings will disappoint you, and you will win every game.
Oh, wait a second. I just heard from Miami fans. They just said the same thing. So who's right?
They're both in the bottom five, I think. Terry, thank you for listening. I appreciate it. Thanks for the call. 239-337-ESPN, which I've been informed is not.
Mentality.
Our phone number is not 239-337-3776. That now is the Dolphin Depression Hotline here at 99.3 ESPN.
But you guys were asking all last, where's the Dolphins' excitement? Yeah. Come on, you're right there in the playoff hunt. You just got to win. You're going into a limping Minnesota.
Yeah.
What did I tell you guys?
Yeah.
I said, yeah, I'm not excited about this game. I wasn't playing the Miami Dolphins fight song last week because I've seen this before. I've seen it from this team before. I saw it last year. The quarterback was just wearing number 6, not number 17.
That was a big part of it. I think if Tannehill were playing last year at the end, they would have got in.
Let's go to Santi in Naples. You're on with Sheeman and Shepard. How are you?
Santi.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. I love the show.
Thank you, man. Sir. Thanks for checking in.
Thank you. Yesterday's loss, nothing out of the normal for the Dolphins. But I wanted to see if you guys caught, you know when their tight end, I forget what his name is. He has the long hair, the tight end for the Vikings. He goes to catch a pass on the sideline.
Kyle Rudolph?
No, the second tight end. He has long hair.
Either way, yeah. Not Treadwell. Sorry, Conklin.
Yep, that's the one.
Yeah.
All right. What about
if you see if you watch that play in the first quarter where Rashad Jones hits him in the sideline?
Yeah.
The guy's second foot never touched, and nobody upstairs from the Dolphins saw that. Like that was a huge play. That was a third down. Like the guy's second foot, if you watch the replay, mm-hmm. never touches the ground, and someone's up there. That's their job to watch that, and we can't even get that right.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of things they screwed up in a lot of games yesterday. Again, the officiating just is inconsistent.
It's getting really bad.
Yeah,
getting really bad. Yeah. Justin in Fort Myers.
Yeah, but you know what? I would love to blame that game yesterday on officiating.
You can't.
The Vikings had the biggest point explosion of the entire season. Justin in Fort Myers, you're on with Sheeman and Shepherd. Go ahead.
Hey, Justin.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
I just tuned in a bit ago. Came on right when the other caller was talking about the Cowboys, and you guys happened to mention Garrett being on the hot seat.
Yes.
I'm curious. I was hoping, and so far I've been disappointed to not see the news that Scott Linehan has been let go, much in the fashion Minnesota let go of their OC last week. Like, the guy put up a goose egg for the first time in, 15 years?
True, but they've been so red hot for the last, but they've been so hot the last 4 to 5 weeks, I don't think they want to ruin that apple cart or tip, whatever they'll say.
Yeah.
I don't think they want to do that right now.
And you're looking at and Chris just pointed out, but if we look at the drives, it's not like they're going three and out, though, Justin, you know? I mean, they're 10 plays, 45 yards, 15 field goal block.
I understand that.
Yeah.
Maybe you guys can confirm if you've heard this. I was reading up yesterday that his job was already considered in jeopardy multiple times earlier this year.
It was. And before they turned it around, it wasn't just Jason Garrett's job. It was Scott Linehan's. That is correct. I think he came within a week of being fired back when they were really struggling.
Well, I was disappointed not to see us make a similar move that the Vikings made, because it certainly seemed like it helped them out.
Yeah, it did. Justin,
I don't know about that. I mean, this is a team that just put up 29 on the Eagles. They beat the Saints. Granted, you score 13 points, but you played complimentary football in that game. You kept the Saints off the field. You score 31 on Washington. You win a three-point game at Atlanta. You go in there and score 22. 27 against the Eagles. I mean, Dak Prescott is not the type of guy to sit back there and throw the ball 45 times. If that's what you want him to do, you're going to lose football games. Yeah. You need to grind the clock and lean on that really good defense you got.
But go back earlier in the year when the Cowboys were around their bye week and they were losing, and everybody's talking about fire Jason Garrett. I think they considered firing Linehan at the break.
Yeah. Right, so they lost three of four. They scored 16 against the Texans. The next week they put up 40 on the Jags. Then they lost back-to-back weeks, putting up 17 and 14 points. I hear you, but I wouldn't mess with anything in that Cowboys game.
Not right now, I wouldn't.
I mean, you're coming off a 5-game winning streak.
Right, I agree with you. You're past that point now. Marcus in Fort Myers, you're on with Sheeman and Shepherd. Hello.
Hey, Marcus.
Hey, how we doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, good. Hey, I think we finally have some good parity going on because everybody's got some multiple losses. There's not these strong one-loss teams coming towards the end of the season, and will they finally suffer their first defeat? I mean, you look at the losses, the Patriots lost to the Steelers lost to the Raiders. I mean, it's just, and the 49ers and Seahawks last night.
That's wide open. I think it's
I'd be inclined to agree with that. Yeah.
I think it's wide open in both conferences. I think you're right.
All right, thank you, Marcus. Because I mean, we're sitting here each week. We kind of reassess ourselves and we're like, all right, who's the hot team now?
And
it changes.
We fake it every week, and you cannot figure this league out. It's
I mean,
so
would it
difficult.
Would it surprise anybody if the Bucs went into Dallas next weekend and hung 28 on them and walked out of there with a win?
Nothing would surprise me.
That
this
would
league.
Surprise me.
You
would
cannot
it?
Take
yeah,
anybody. Okay. It wouldn't
I
surprise
the,
me because
but I think the Bucs are done.
I okay. do. They're either going to pack it in or they're going to
You know, I can almost say that Jameis has nothing to play for except a job next year. Go out there, sling the ball 45 times. Might get lucky.
I don't think anything surprises me in this league. You look a few weeks ago what Seattle did to San Francisco at home, and then you look at that result yesterday.
Yeah.
You don't know. Look what the Patriots did at home to Miami, then opposed to what happened down here, and vice versa. It's a crazy league to try to figure out. And the Saints tonight, they lay an egg against Carolina. It's been,
it's going to stir it up.
Oh,
let's go back to the phones. My man Otis from the Cape. You're on with Sheba and Shepherd.
Otis.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. How are you? How are you?
I'm all right. Listen, I'll talk a little bit about the Dolphins, but my whole thing is all the Florida teams lost yesterday, so it really kind of sucked. But I heard the last caller call in and talk about the parody. You know, I've been watching football a long time. I understand where he's coming from, but there's always teams that separate themselves. And even though some of them, like the Patriots, got a few losses, and, you know, the Rams are on a little bit of a downturn, do you really want to act like those other teams got a chance? You know, that any given Sunday day, anybody can beat anybody. But when it comes down to it, you know, if you want to play, I feel like Phillip Rivers may make the Super Bowl this year.
He might. Yeah, he absolutely
this
might.
This year, I would not want to play him this year because he's got it together. If Melvin Gordon can get back, and even the guy behind him is filling in.
Yep.
And you know, here I am praising somebody on the other side of the country because all the Florida teams just atrocious. And lastly, I don't really get into the coaching thing because, the guy's got to perform. I used to play ball. Mm-hmm. You got to do your job. I mean, every play in football is designed to score. But you got human error. Even a fullback dive is designed to score. Mm-hmm. If everybody makes their block, but that doesn't happen.
Yeah. Right.
Every play.
Yeah.
So the player's got to perform. You know, the best part about yesterday was seeing the look on Adam Gase's face at the end of it. I don't not like him, but I did like seeing him stunned. So maybe he could get it together a little bit.
How about his press conference? His press conference is like, ugh.
I had enough. I love Red Zone, so I bounced back and forth.
Absolutely.
Me too, man.
Yeah, we did too, at least for the 1 o'clock. There was only 2 4 o'clock.
That was a good call, Otis.
Otis, be great, man. Call again, as usual. Otis is always a great call.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. All right, we're a little bit tardy here. A lot of fun talking football. We're going to keep doing it. 239-337-ESPN. And later on, we're going to be giving away some tickets to WWE.
One of them thinks cooking is cool. The other thinks white tube socks are. This is Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. We're going to party,
caramba, fiesta. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. Saw Lionel Richie in concert once.
You know where he is still huge?
Where's that?
Aruba.
Australia.
Aruba.
Yeah?
Oh! Beloved.
I did not know that.
I don't know why, but he is.
I have no idea.
It's a great Mountain Dew commercial.
Yeah? Yeah?
You don't remember it, Pete? I'll show you during the next break.
Okay.
It's pretty good. Yeah. Lionel Richie. I saw Lionel Richie. Let me think. I got to think.
When he was with the Commodores or solo?
Solo?
Yeah.
Would have been when I was a kid. Tina Turner opened for
him. Oh, great.
Opened for him.
Was this at your yellow jacket job?
No, I was even younger than this. Mom and Dad, Sheeman, decided to get off the Neil Diamond bandwagon. We actually got tickets to Lionel Richie and Tina Turner, baby.
Oh, that's a good show.
This is right when her album
came out.
Private Dancer.
Private Dancer? God. I'll stare at those legs.
What's that about?
What's that?
Private Dancer? Actually, it was actually about, I think, a ballerina, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's what
it is. Oh.
No, it's not. No, it's
ballet,
not.
Huh?
It's not.
Yeah, exactly.
Using that term pretty loosely,
private
right?
Private Dancer, dancing for money.
Yep. All right. There was a story I came across this morning, and then Chris said he heard something that I want to tie them all together. The Denver Broncos. There's a story out that John Elway was talking to Mike Shanahan about him maybe coming back as a head coach. Now, I thought this was a current story, and then Chris, Woody Page is reporting that Elway and Shanahan were super close last year, but they didn't want to pull the plug.
Yeah, he's reporting this from today that at the end of last season, John Elway met with Mike Shanahan. They actually had a deal in place. In fact, Woody Page reporting that it was so close. Shanahan was so close to being the Broncos' next head coach before this season, but it was CEO Joe Ellis who refused to fire Vance Joseph and hire Shanahan.
Because, I mean, Vance Joseph still had, what, 4 years left on his deal?
It went as far, this is Woody Page reporting, that Mike Shanahan had meetings on his own with Kirk Cousins about a potential reunion in Denver. Remember, Shanahan was in charge of the Redskins when he drafted RG3 and Kirk Cousins in the same draft.
Interesting. So, I mean, we feel like this is back on now. Like, is this going to happen?
Oh, I think there's a strong. I think there's a. I think that Harbaugh, in a lot of ways, is going to, if he wants to leave, is going to have his pick of places. I think the Miami job still is going to get the most power out of it. Whether he wants it or not is a whole different story. But I still don't think you can just dismiss the fact. I think he's there. You're going to Arians. And he may say for now all he's going to do is wants to coach the Cleveland Browns. But that might change.
Do you think he pauses the market because he's the domino?
Jim Harbaugh?
Yeah. Do the Packers go after him that hard?
Yeah, I heard Shanahan's name attached to the Packers about 3 weeks ago.
I did too.
I think the Packers can bring a lot of guys. I think Arians, to have the opportunity to work with Rodgers, for an offensive guy like Bruce Arians, that's got to just, I mean, that's the ultimate,
well,
right?
He said he doesn't want it. He only wants the Browns.
I know he says that.
What does that mean?
But,
well, it means wait till more money is being offered and maybe
but
even
he's
more
terrible
power
at broadcasting games. Oh, I mean, he talked about how this is called the shotgun formation a couple weekends ago. Like, yeah. He needs to get back into coaching and speak with people on his level.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I think there's no question. There's going to, I think Cleveland, though, that's the domino job is the Browns. Another one. I mean, do they keep Williams? What are they going to do?
I think right now you keep Greg Williams.
I don't know how you don't.
Yeah.
It's the Browns.
Well, I get that, but this is Dorsey. I mean, he's made nothing but good moves so far when he's been in Cleveland.
You got to think Baker's opinion is going to carry a little bit of weight, even
should.
For a rookie.
Well, here's the thing,
a little
though.
Bit.
I think Baker and I think Greg Williams got that same old chip on their shoulders. I think these guys should get along well, unless they got different opinions. And then there's like two heads butting against each other. But I kind of see them as the same kind of guy. I think they would get along great. And they're winning.
And I think they're going to beat Cincinnati at home this week. And then they go at Baltimore to end the season. And, man, what a game that is going to be.
I think so.
You know, you look at the jobs that are going to be open. You're getting all the control in Miami, but if you're Harbaugh, you come in and you don't have the quarterback. That's a massive hole to fill. Yeah. A hole that franchise has been trying to fill since number 13 walked away from the game.
Now, this is a team,
I love
too.
It. 2 weeks ago, we had Harbaugh there. Then last week, keep him. We're going to stick with
Gase.
But
on the other side, if Harbaugh wants to leave, okay, let's say you don't want to go through the hassle of finding the quarterback. Well, you're not going to get the power in Green Bay that you would get in Miami. So are you getting back into a San Francisco 49ers situation where you could potentially headbutt with the GM? And most of the time, the GM wins that argument.
Yeah. And Cleveland beat Baltimore earlier this year at 12-9 in overtime back on October 7th. That was after that horrible Raider loss at 45-42 they got screwed out of.
You know, looking at the Dolphins, Flacco's going to be available. There aren't that many places that can take on a contract like Flacco. Now, he'll be cut and he'll get a new contract.
Do you want him?
I
love asking Dolphin fan this question.
No, I don't want him.
Okay.
No, I don't blame you. I wouldn't want him. And this for that team right now,
because
no
you're
way.
Already 8-8 all the
but
time.
That's
you're getting another 500 guy.
That's unbelievable to say that about a Super Bowl winning quarterback. He won the Super Bowl, what, 5 years ago?
And he's been 500 ever since, which is what the Dolphins are trying to avoid.
I hear you. I don't want him. I just think that it's to have the opportunity to have a guy like Harbaugh come in with a guy like Flacco. That's a clear upgrade, right?
Yeah.
In every way imaginable. I mean, I don't know what Harbaugh, the GM, would turn into. But he's a lot better than Mike Tannenbaum.
No doubt. No doubt about it.
Adam Gase has his games where it's like, damn, I know that this guy's a good play caller. Then he has games like Sunday where you're, what are you doing? Then he has play calls like 3rd and 10 on your own 4, and he runs a draw with 2 minutes left against the Colts.
Yeah.
He has those moments where you're like, what are you doing?
I agree.
And there's no argument. Flacco's better than Tannehill. He's more consistent than Tannehill, right?
Yeah. I guess.
I mean, you look at some of the things that he did the last couple of years. I mean, he liked to throw jump balls a lot and got away with it a lot because he had the receivers to do it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know if – I would not like to see him in Miami with that set of players there right now. How about John Harbaugh? Now, what if the Ravens lose at the Chargers on Sunday night, and then home against Cleveland? What if they lose the next two and fall to 8-8 and don't make the playoffs?
I think Lamar Jackson has saved this job.
Maybe.
I'm intrigued by that also.
Do you want a quarterback going into his second year, where we know the biggest jump in an NFL player's career is from year one to year two?
Yep.
They have a full offseason where they're just fine-tuning everything. Mm-hmm. Do you want to throw a new playbook on Lamar Jackson's lap, or do you just want to say we're gonna keep the status quo? Let's say they lose the last two. We were 8-6 with a shot to go to the playoffs with a rookie quarterback, and he didn't get it done.
Yeah. It all depends on Mr. Bisciotti and how he feels, the owner. Ozzie Newsome's gone.
Yep, but his right-hand man is taking over.
His right-hand man is taking over.
I think Bisciotti likes Harbaugh. That's why Harbaugh's still there after last year. And I think he's always willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. Mm-hmm. I think he considered making a change and did not. But you're right. I think Jackson has saved his job by his performance.
I think Doug Marone's in trouble in Jacksonville. We know new coaches. I could see Jets, Jacksonville, Cincinnati. That's three right there, right off the bat. Possibly Miami. That's four.
Yep.
Tampa.
Tampa's
I'm just going to the AFC. Tampa's five. Arizona.
Man, you just hired Steve Wilkes.
I think you got to give him one more.
All right.
New quarterback.
Five. Ron Rivera's safe. Washington's safe.
Ron Rivera's safe, but is Ron Rivera safe?
I do not think Ron Rivera is safe.
Really?
They've lost five in a row. They're looking at losing another one tonight against the Saints. I mean,
they fired a coordinator 3 weeks ago. No, he is not safe. Not at all. So there's six.
There's probably six potential openings. Green Bay, seven. So seven potential openings.
Pete, you forgot the Raiders. Yeah.
that'll be sooner rather than later. Give Chucky and Creepy Mark.
I tell you what, Bill Belichick loses a third in a row in December. He's out.
Did you throw the Packers in there?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
So it's like seven teams.
All right, coming up, I've got some WWE tickets. In case you missed it earlier, we'll tell you what happened, what hasn't happened between Central Florida and Florida as far as playing football. We'll recap that. And wall-to-wall NFL football in our final hour, plus tonight's Monday Night Tilt, New Orleans and Carolina. All that's coming up. Sheeman and Shepard on Southwest Florida Sports Leader, 99.3 ESPN.
Check out whatever ridiculous Twitter poll we're running at 99.3 ESPN Radio. Now it's Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN.
Sheeman and Shepard on Southwest Florida Sports League 99.3 ESPN. Coming up in a moment, I'm going to give away some tickets to the WWE live event coming up in January at Hertz Arena. We're talking football on a Monday. Don't forget Monday Night Football tonight, New Orleans and Carolina. We'll discuss that a little bit more coming up. But first, back to the phones at 239-337 ESPN. We were talking about the Browns earlier and the coaching carousel that's about to happen around the NFL. Jake in Fort Myers wants to chime in. Jake, go ahead. How are you?
Hey, Jake.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Great.
What's going on?
Good. Great. How you doing?
Just enjoying a Monday.
All right. Yeah, just a few things before I get started. First, I want to say, go Browns.
All right. The dog pound.
And second thing, for the first time in my life, there might be a meaningful game played by the Cleveland Browns in Week 17.
Yeah.
There might.
It's been a while. You're right. Absolutely.
Do you feel like a wasted opportunity from the first couple?
I've been bouncing around in my head what we're going to do with the coaches. I think I would like to put Williams back at defensive coordinator, keep Kitchens as OC, and then maybe go throw everything in the kitchen sink at McCarthy or Lincoln Riley. I just want to know your guys' thoughts on that. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know if Greg Williams would accept that. Right
no,
now.
He would not. He's not accepting a demotion back to D.C. Right.
And does it make sense to bring in a head coach like Lincoln Riley specifically and not use him to be your O.C.? Like, that's where his value is, right? That's the same with Mike McCarthy. You bring him in because you want his offense. So if you're going to keep Kitchen calling the plays, you might as well get a true CEO to come in and just run everything, you know, not just one side of the ball.
Yeah. I'd agree with that.
By the way, Michigan signed 30 players to its 2017 recruiting class. Somebody transferred again today, offensive lineman. That's eight gone. They have only 22 left.
Couldn't cut it.
Just telling you. You know? I'm wondering. That's why I'm going to be really curious to see what happens with Michigan on Wednesday. National, you know, early signing day starts Wednesday. And I wanted, you know, if you were, I think you want to wait to see. I'm not sure if they're big-time recruits may have second thoughts, is all I'm saying, until after the NFL season.
Well, remember, if a coach leaves,
yes, you can.
Those kids
can right.
bail.
That's right, that new
want,
rule. That's so. True. That's true.
All right. So anyway, yeah, we'll keep an eye on it. Things have been kind of quiet the past 5 days in Ann Arbor. Heard somebody say that they think that means he's gone. I don't. I think he's staying. I think he's recruiting hard and working up toward this signing day.
I still just, if there's the John Gruden deal out there, I think it's very difficult to say no to that.
I think it will be in Miami.
And I'm texting with somebody right now on our text line. What if you bring in Harbaugh and say, all right, Tannehill, here's your last year. Go prove it. You've had Gase. You've had Philbin, two guys that we don't know a lot about as head coaches. Now we got you somebody who turned Colin Kaepernick into a Super Bowl caliber quarterback.
I think they're going to offer him the world. I think he gets that Godfather offer from the Miami Dolphins this year. I think it's going to happen, and whether he wants to take it or not.
574 says, any discussion about Brian Kelly going to the NFL? By the way, he won AP Coach of the Year today,
yes.
right?
Yes, he did. Yeah, there'll be discussion. They'll probably somebody will kick the tires on him. I don't know if he'll accept it, but I think he'll get calls.
He got Notre Dame where
2 years ago, that team had 5 wins, right?
Yeah.
But you know how it goes.
I know how it goes.
I'm with you.
He's done a good job at Notre Dame. Yeah, I don't think
his name will pop up, though. His name will pop up.
People will call him, no doubt about it.
You never know.
But he's staying.
Then Urban Meyer can come back.
At least I was going to say Urban Meyer will get the U-Haul moving so fast. Yeah, be embarrassing.
Oh, man.
All right.
Yeah. Next hour, we're going to have Keisha just joining us and don't know what happened between UCF and Florida. With you here, this.
Oh, it's embarrassing. All right. How many tickets we got at WWE? Two?
Dose
tickets. WWE Live, that means two. Caller number 9. Event's coming up in a couple of weeks in January at Hertz Arena. 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. It's Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN.